All right, everyone, we are going to go ahead and get back to work here. Again, this is our July 2025
Recording in progress.
Parks Commission meeting. We have made it to 2 p.m. Central Time, and this is the time for our public hearing. Just a reminder to those folks that are wanting to visit with the commission today, whether through the public hearing or the open forum, please be mindful that the public hearing is designated for public comment on finalizations only. And our staff attorney, Nick Michaels, will ensure that all have the instructions as we begin. So with that, we will kick off the public hearing portion of today's meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the chair mentioned, this is purely to comment on those items on the agenda which fall under the finalization category. If you wish to address the commission, when you come up, please start by stating your name as we are making a record of proceedings. I will give you 3 minutes in which to make your comments, at which point I will tell you that you need to wrap up your comments. We'll start with agenda item number 6, which is the Custer State Park Antelope finalization. Is there anyone present here in person who wishes to address the commission specifically on the Custer State Park antelope finalization? Seeing no one, is there anyone present online who wishes to address the commission on the Custer State Park antelope finalization? We have no one there either, so we will turn then to agenda item number 7, which is this shooting sports complex fee schedule finalization. Is there anyone here present in person who wishes to address the commission on the shooting sports complex fee schedule finalization? Seeing no one, is there anyone present online who wishes to address the commission on the shooting sports complex fee schedule finalization? If you are there, please raise your hand.
Yeah, Nancy's.
Hello.
Hello.
Did I unmute myself successfully?
Yes. Please start by stating your name and then go ahead.
Nancy Hilding, a president, Prairie Health Audubon Society. And we would like to thank you for choosing to have a fee schedule and a charge of money for the using the shooting range. This will allow you to have money to properly operate and control the pollution and run the place. So we thank you for doing that. We have no clue whether these are the appropriate amounts to charge, but we suggest that you might think of having something for low-income people. And where they get a cheaper rate, or they can pay for it over a longer period of time for an annual pass. We do not understand what the club pass means, annual club pass number 4. We hope you'll explain that when you're presenting the proposal, so we understand that would mean. And we have always been concerned about how the tribes were treated with failure to engage in proper Section 106 consultation, where Game Fish and Parks put things out for bid and signed contracts after you were told you had to consult with the tribes, and you didn't hold up and wait to consult with the tribes. And then Flandreau Santee Sioux Tribe came out there in November and found 7 additional sacred sites or cultural sites eligible for listing under the Historic Preservation Act and declared it some kind of special area. And Guy and Christy Nome decided that she was not going to continue to go through the Historic Preservation Section 106 compliance, thereby forfeiting the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service dollars. And He went and got permission from the Army Corps of Engineers to dig up the place, a certain area of the place, before they learned that the Section 106 had not been complied with. But at any rate, you, in the process of building this, you harmed and hurt the Native Americans in South Dakota by choosing not to engage in Section 106 and skipping the federal money. It's our suggestion that you communicate with the tribes and see if the tribes might want to have a relief from the fees or less fees having to be paid by tribal members as an attempt after the fact to compensate the tribes for your failure to engage in Section 106 consultation and bulldozing seven historic preservation sites. And
Appreciate 3 minutes, Nancy,
all
for the
right,
wrap-up.
okay, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present online who wishes to address the commission concerning specifically the shooting sports complex fee schedule finalization? We see no one, so with that, Madam Chair, I would turn things back over to you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Michaels. Now we will move to the open forum portion of today's meeting. This portion of the meeting is designated for public comment on petitions, proposals, and other items of interest not on the agenda. And Mr. Michaels should be facilitating this as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a reminder to our general public, similar to the public hearing portion, you are given 3 minutes in which to address the commission on any topic that you deem relevant. I will let you know when your 3 minutes is up, at which point you need to wrap up your comments. And also, please remember to state your name prior to making those comments, as we are making a record. We'll hear first from Josh Flynn, who I believe is here present in person.
Beautiful.
Welcome.
Hello, I'm Josh Flynn. I'm a regional director for Eastern South Dakota and Eastern Nebraska for Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. I'm here to announce the special tag winners for 2025, including the firearms that are given away for places 2 through 4. I'd first like to thank the commission for allowing us to have this tag to raise money for conservation and habitat improvement here in South Dakota. For first places, the special tag winner, this is for a Black Hills and any Black Hills unit and Custer State Park elk tag. The 2025 winner is going to be Lauren Mowick out of Selby, South Dakota. Second place is going to be a Weatherby Vanguard. It's a 6.5 PRC that's going to Joel Heilman out of Ipswich. Third is going to be the Taurus 65 357 Magnum that's going to Curtis Moseman out of Winter. And fourth place is going to be a CZ 612 12 gauge, and that's going to Cade Waldera out of Alexandria. Again, I'd like to thank you guys for granting us this tag and letting us raise money for South Dakota Wildlife.
Commissioner Bisa, with all the years you guys had this tag and the money you've been collecting, what type of projects have you put that to, and what have you done with the money to benefit it?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to follow up with you on previous projects. This is my first year in this role. The one that we just completed was out in the Black Hills. It's under an acquisition from RMEF. And we planted about, well, it's going to end up being 16,000 willow trees by the time they get the rest of them planted. But we planted about 6,000 willow trees over the course of the weekend, along a section to try to dam it up with beavers to create a permanent wetland in that area. So we're trying to increase for this year, trying to increase wetland in the Black Hills so that plenty of animals will be drawn towards that area. Right now, there's a running creek that most of the time it has running water throughout the year, and so we're trying to create a permanent wetland so there's a water source year round for those
Where was
animals.
that at?
That's off of it's just outside of Custer. I can get you the actual coordinates of that if you'd like,
No,
but
that's
it's on the RMEF, forget the name of the creek, but I can get you the actual
Was
coordinates and the work projects of that. I'm sorry.
it Valley?
No, I want to say it's Muster. I can get you the creek name on that. That's
Very
all I
good.
have.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the winners.
Madam Chair,
Yes.
Director Kirschman, if I could just
Yes,
want to
please.
follow up with a question from Commissioner Beeson. I would also offer up
the funds that have been raised from that elk raffle over the years by Rocky Mountain Elk, they've been a phenomenal partner to our agency in the state. I just also follow up, some of the other areas where they have partnered with us have been through a lot of our radio telemetry projects that we've done on elk across the Black Hills when we've done movements, survival of the elk cows in particular, and deploying collars, and to have that biological information, which we use in our population estimate with our aerial flights. They've also helped put funds towards flights as well for doing that type of work. And then also there's been a suite of different habitat projects across the Black Hills as well in particular. So over the years, they've been a fantastic partner to our agency and really have helped in many facets of elk management across the state, but primarily in the Black Hills, and really appreciate their continued partnership on that. We have the opportunity every year to meet with them and talk to them about the funds that they raise, throw out some projects to put funds towards, and they're always very amenable and looking forward to the projects that we bring forward and determine what are priorities, the best projects for those funds, and put them on back on the ground to work with us in elk management.
Very good. Thank you, Director Kirschman. Mr. Michaels.
Moving on, we'll next hear from Scott, and I apologize, Scott, I can't make out the last answer. Planzer, okay.
Welcome.
My name is Scott Glanzer with SNS Sales, and the live crawfish deal with this AIS. That's why I'm here. I sure thank you guys for bringing this recommendation up that I could sell live crawfish. It's all human consumption that I've ever known. So, got any questions? Shoot them off.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else present here in person today who wishes to address the commission during the open forum portion? Sir?
Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I think I know all of them really well. It's a, I've got a new one. I have to meet you. I'm Tim Goodwin. I'm Secretary Roebling. I should have probably said you first. I'm sorry. I'm Tim Goodwin. I'm in the legislature, but not here at that point. I will say that on that bounty predator program, we were one vote away from it going away, at least in committee. So we got to get some legislators that are a little bit more pro-hunting and pro-trapping. And so it was amazing how they tried to kill that thing. But we finally got it across the finish line so it didn't get killed. They were, the stories I heard, I'd like to say, well, you know what happens after we catch them in the trap? Like, nobody's, how do you get the tail off? You kill the animal. Nobody thinks about that. But anyway, I'd like to talk about lion hunting at the Black Hills Lion Hunters Group. It's on a Facebook page of 5,000 people. This group came before this commission in the 90s to get the lion season started. Took until 2005 to get it through, and you guys have carried it on. I think it's the most successful season we've ever had in South Dakota. It's definitely the most fun, and it's pretty much flawless. And that's credit to the commission here and Secretary Roebling and his department. It's actually fun. I mean, what's a better thing than to shoot a lion and take it into the game fishing parks and everybody there taking pictures and doing everything? I mean, it's just a rush. So this last year, with no snow, we killed 52 lions, 29 females, 23 males. I was just figuring out what we've had, and I got to get the exact figure, but since the season started in 2005, we've harvested over 1,300 lions. That's a lot of lions. And I think there's more lions today than there was in 2005. That's just, I think we can prove stats on that. A couple things that are concerning to us is we seem to always try to work with the houndsmen, and we really think we got it solved, and we try to bend over backwards to everything, and they come with another proposal. And the only thing that's a little bit discouraging to us is we have stakeholders meetings. We've been had a couple different ones. We even have people in the stakeholders meetings that are against hunting. Everybody gets to have their input. We come with a final analysis of it, and then the houndsmen come with another proposal that wasn't brought up during the stakeholders meeting, which they were at the table. So that's happened now again. We're not going to comment on today, but we will on when you come to Rapid City on September 4th. And we really, really want to work with them. And we do. I mean, Commissioner Bees and I have talked about it, Secretary Roebling and I have. We really want to cooperate and get along, but it comes to the point where it doesn't matter what you do. It seems to me, in my opinion, that it's never enough. You know, they're never satisfied. So that's just my, that'll be our caveat before we meet September 4th. But we do not want a war. We want to come up with a compromise for everybody. I mean, we really do. We do have an annual banquet every year. It's like a Pheasants Forever banquet or a Ducks Unlimited banquet. Our venue gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We've had it at the event center at Three Forks. If you know the Black Hills, where Three Forks is at.
You have reached 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. And so if you want to come to that, it's a hoot. Prizes are great, and it gets better every year. So I just appreciate the commission for supporting the Lion season and for everything that you do.
Sir.
Is there anyone else present in person who wishes to address the commission? Please come forward.
Hi, my name is Kay Swihart, and I'm here representing several groups. I'm on the Southeast Dakota Prairie Burn Association, and we are trying to control the invasion of the cedar trees. So we do prairie burns, you know, for those people who want to go ahead and contract with us. And we just do it via a donation to the society. We're newly formed. We have been in business for about 15 months. This is all volunteers that are involved in this. But it's something that this year, I don't know our exact number of acres. I know we are signed up for about 3,000 acres, and I think we've burned about 250 or 60 acres this year. But it's trying to control the invasive green glacier of cedar trees. Another one I'm here on is International Dark Sky Program. If you're not familiar with this program, I ask that we can come in. I'm also the executive committee of the Sierra Club, and I'm asking that we can come in and do a program on dark sky for you. And this is something that's imperative to the wildlife, to human health, the pollinators. So many species are impacted by this. We can do about a 30-minute presentation so you understand where it is. It's looking at changing how we do lighting, whether it's for your own personal home or for the parks. And I know Custer has gone this way. Yellowstone has gone this way. There's numerous parks. Fort Sisseton has gone this way. The very first one was 2001 in Flagstaff. It is an opportunity for the state park board to go ahead and increase tourism because people want to see the sky at night. They don't want to see all the lights that they're putting on the ground around their campers and things. They want to see the sky and be able to photograph it. So this is something that I think is imperative and an opportunity for the park board to jump on board with and do something that's advantageous for all species, including human health and, as I said, the wildlife, pollinators, different things that are involved. And we can go over that through a presentation. Another thing that I am looking at, Joel Sartori, who is with National Geographic. We have Joel that is scheduled to come in and speak. I'm still working on funding for him, but that will be coming up in September, I believe our date is, and I don't have that exact date. He is photographing the 20,000 species around the world that are endangered and threatened before they become extinct. Currently, he is at 17,000 species, but this is something that I think the public needs to know, but we have to have a minimum number of people. We do this. It is free to the public. We do it by donation only, and those monies are given back to a nonprofit entity like that. We cannot accept federal dollars to do anything like this, though, and this is all part of the criteria that we have. But if anyone has any questions at all on any of those topics, I would be happy to answer any of those questions.
All right. Thank you for being here. Well, we have a question. Commissioner Locken.
Yes. Could I ask a question?
Please.
Yes. I travel the countryside a lot. I do see spots where probably the cedar trees are a problem, but I also see some spots where they're really welcome. Just wondering what criteria your group uses to decide which they are.
We work with various entities, Pheasants Forever, Turkeys Federation, all of the different entities, NRCS. I'll give you an example. One farmer came to us. He had 1,000 acres. 700 acres had been taken over by Cedar, making it completely unusable for pasture land. So it is up to the landowner what they want to do, what they want to burn. I don't know if you know Dr. Wilson, Jerry Wilson from Vermilion. We just burned his property over there, a portion of his property. We're doing a section at a time, not a section. We're doing a portion at a time. His goal was to go ahead and eradicate the cedars in there and use it for the prairie nesting birds. So that facility is fabulous. We were supposed to have had a walk Monday night on that property, and we got rained out. So we'll try to go ahead and get that scheduled again. But it's up to the individual landowners what they want to do and what areas they want to do. We work with Cody Gering. I don't know if any of you know Cody. Cody is with the Pheasants Forever, I believe it is, or Audubon. But we work with them. We do the mapping. We do all the training, and we ask them to bring in volunteers, and we'll provide training for them. We do also provide training to the public. We've worked a lot with the colony and some of those agencies, trying to get them trained in so they don't go out and just burn, you know, haphazardly. We want to have them controlled burns. But I know that even within the park system itself, I understand that you can't burn. But we can provide guidance to go ahead and do that and work with them.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else present here in person today who wishes to address the commission? Seeing no one, we'll turn to our members of the public who are present online. Is there anyone present online who wishes to address the commission? If so, please raise your hand.
Hello, this is Nancy Hilding. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, this is Nancy Hilding for Prairie Hills Audubon Society. We're going to talk about the Beaver Action Plan. And maybe the otter action plan. We thank Game Fish and Parks for doing the Black Hills action plan. We have two concerns. The beaver is currently a management indicator species on the Black Hills, which means they're supposed to monitor the population to figure how their management of the forest is affecting riparian areas. If you go forward with a hunting proposal, we would like you to be recording and sharing with the Forest Service the number of beaver that are killed by hunting, so the Black Hills National Forest can try to figure out if the population fluctuations are a result of, say, management of grazing or hunting pressure. And when you have your fur bearer report, I don't know what all you're getting, but in terms of what you're sharing with us, you just say which county the beavers would be killed in. You don't say whether they were killed in the Black Hills Fire Protection District. And that's, you know, voluntary reporting of 31% of the hunters or something. So we're asking for that if you move forward with the hunting season. And we would also like more information on what percent of the suitable beaver habitat areas in the Black Hills National Forest are on public or private land, and how those habitats interact. Like half of the colony lives on public land, the other half lives on private land. We would like more information about how much of the suitable habitat is on private or public land. Okay, so I wanna talk about the Otter Action Plan and your continual failure to want to have something West River reintroduction. I didn't listen to Conta's presentation on that. I read the review in the newspaper. He claimed that the White River reintroduction in 2013 failed because the habitat was inadequate or something. The White River reintroduction failed because they only reintroduced two otters, a male and a female. In the first year, the male wandered off, you know, left the area. And the female died of a heart attack 2 years later when she had a pup that was 10 months old when she died of heart failure. And the pup lived on for a while because there were sightings there, I think, as far as 2018. So the failure that occurred at the White River reintroduction was because they didn't put in enough otters. Okay, so, you know, if they're not a breeding pair, they cannot reintroduce.
3 minutes, Nancy.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Is there anyone else present online who wishes to address the commission?
Yeah, can everyone hear me okay?
Yes. Go ahead, sir.
Hey. Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Chase Larson. I'm speaking on behalf of the Black Hills Mountain Lion Foundation in opposition to petition number 243 and the proposed mountain lion hunting season. Throughout my statement, I'll be primarily addressing the proposal instead of the petition because, quite frankly, I think we believe the petition is unreasonable and don't really believe it bears much consideration anyway. And apparently the Game Fish Park staff agree since they departed so far from the petition in their proposal. In any case, all the points I'll be making today apply to both to varying degrees. Based on tag sales by the Game Fish and Parks, there are just over 3,000 boot hunters. And based on the last information I saw, there are only around about 100 houndsmen. This means that houndsmen equal at most 3% total lion hunters in the state. This small percentage of hunters account for nearly 35% of the total harvest in South Dakota year after year. This proposal would only increase that disparity and would only truly benefit a small fraction of hunters in South Dakota who already harvest a disproportionate amount of cats in the state. The current management model does work and has worked since mountain lion hunting was established in the early 2000s. Why would we change a working model to cater to the lowest percentage of hunters in South Dakota? Houndsmen have no less opportunity to hunt mountain lions than anybody else. They currently can hunt year-round on the prairie, and I've actually had that opportunity expanded just this year to include all public ground outside of the Black Hills. Also, nothing keeps houndsmen from hunting in the Black Hills without their dogs. Their only complaint is that they can't use their preferred method in the hills. It isn't that they can't hunt the Black Hills, it's they don't want to without their dogs. This same issue has been thoroughly debated three years in a row. South Dakotans have resoundingly spoken on this issue. They do not want to see hound hunting in the Black Hills, nor do they want to see a reduction in the population as seen by your own surveys. Although some of the commissioners would prefer it to be otherwise, South Dakotans resoundingly rejected a proposal to reduce the population yet less than a year ago. Although there was an uptick in the population estimate last year, since 2018, we can see that the population has been trending downward. I will quote this proposal. This recommendation is expected to increase harvest. Consistent harvest at the current rate may reduce the population. So I think it's obvious that staff believes that due to this proposal, the population is likely to be reduced. The obvious result in this will be the reduced opportunity for thousands of hunters. With an uptick in the average number of harvests every year, we can expect that this proposal will reduce the population and thereby necessitate a reduction to the harvest limit in subsequent years to keep the population at its target levels, creating lost opportunities for all hunters in South Dakota. This proposal, as written, risks monetizing our mountain lion population as well. This proposal opens the opportunity for outfitters licensed in the hills to capitalize on what is currently an exciting opportunity for the average hunter. Yep, I'm wrapping up. One last point. And this is going to turn it into a rich man's game. The houndsmen really don't care about any of this. They demonstrated this when they actively supported the reduction of the mountain lion population last year. All they want to do is chase cats with dogs, and they don't care how it gets done or who loses because of it. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with the commission today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present online who wishes to address the commission?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Begin when you're ready.
Jeremy Wells, Sturgis, South Dakota, landowner in the Fire Protection District, Black Hills. Good afternoon, Secretary Roebling, Madam Chair, commissioners. We have went back and forth with the boot hunters on this, and I have attended the stakeholder meetings. I have expressed my concerns with these hunting units and everything else, and we've tried to work hand in hand with Game and Fish. I've been on the phone with Mr. Kanta since January, and over was told that we'd get to work hand in hand with coming up with an ideal season for everybody. And in return, we heard nothing. So we put in our petition, and then just a couple days later is when they actually put in their recommendation. So it's not that we're not trying to work with Game Fish on this. It's just we keep getting pushed in the dark on it. I do support their recommendation. Just a few things that I think could be tweaked on there from an actual draw tag. It could be put in as a quota, which would give more opportunity to, instead of just 15 people, there could be a lot more people hunting. That'd be set up more like the boot hunters are. They get to hunt on a quota system right now as well. So, and these landowners that it's trying to cater to would get a better opportunity to actually kill the cat off their place as well, because they don't have to play the game so much about trying to draw an actual tag. And then just all around, hunting with hounds in general is more efficient. It is more ethical. Mr. Goodwin himself 2 years ago shot a lactating female that I know Game Fish went and tried to recover the kittens on as well. And then as far as our recommendation or our petition with the 12 additional cats, we actually put that in as a percentage this year. So if at some point Game Fish and Parks decides that the harvest limit needs to become lower, our number will float with that at 20% in the fire protection district. So if that goes up, it goes up. If it goes down, it also goes down. So I guess I strongly support the South Dakota Houndsman Association's petition and hope that you move that forward as well. So, and as they said, with the 52 cats being killed, that's a record year. So I'd have to agree with them that the numbers are going up, and there is room for a handful of hounds in the Black Hills. So, I guess one other thing that was mentioned was the 3,000 tag sales. I'm a houndsman. I buy a tag. I have went out. I've called in a mountain lion. I shot it. But yet I do prefer to use my dogs. But I carry a tag every year. Does that make me a boot hunter? No, it does not. Okay. That's my point, I guess. The 3,000 tag sales and the 5,000 people on Facebook, you can't base anything off that. There's a pile of landowners that buy the tag just the same. So
you're now 30 seconds over. Thank you. Is there anyone else present online who wishes to address the commission? Seeing no one, I would hand things back over to you, Madam Chair.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Michaels. And thanks to everybody who reached out to visit with the commission today, whether here in person, thank you for being here, or joining us over the internet. And with that, we're going to move to petition.